It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Welcome to B-movie breakdown episode number 59. 59.
Do you
ever 59?
I can't say that I have.
Can't say that you have? Neither have I. But you know what? This week, some people may have 59 in this movie. Because this movie is so fine, it makes you want to get a job.
That's true as well.
This is true.
Straight jacking.
Well, the B-Movie Breakdown is a weekly podcast where you find the humor and enjoyment in low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed on a prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. The macho madness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can listen, if you listen to us, subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bnbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us on our site. Or on our email, bnbpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, @bnbpodcast, or on Facebook. Check out the T-Dog Blizzle Pops Combsy Stand Show. That's on iTunes. Timmy Blaze hosts that shit. It is funny, good stuff. Also, Jonathan Mann does our theme song, Man With Two Ends. Check his shit out on the YubiTube. The YubiTube, it's just like the Googly Docs.
The Googly Docs.
It's just like the Googly Docs. Well, I'm Corey.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Gina.
Actually, Gina's not here with us this week. We could have just pretended the whole time, just been like, oh my God. Just like this bullshit voice the whole fucking time.
I think they would have caught on.
They would have caught on because that doesn't sound anything like her. But what if you go back and then she's like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm waving.
I'm fucking out. You're fucking out. Just like Kenny Powers. That was his catchphrase. You're fucking out.
I recall.
You recall?
I do.
Do you recall this week's movie?
Barely.
Barely. I recalled it as well as being a child and watching it. And being, yeah, we gotta rent it because it's a bad, you know, it's like a dirty movie, kind of, but it's not, but it's for kids, but it's not. The movie we speak of is Bebe's Kids.
Bebe's Kids. We don't die, we multiply.
We multiply. I always wanted to rent this. I can't even picture, like, it in the video store, like, in my head. Like, I can see it on the shelf in the video store, that tape, and renting it. Oh, I rented it so many times as a kid. And it was like, oh, it's kind of like bad, but it's not. It has like elements where it isn't like for kids, but then it's not for kids in certain parts. Especially the beginning. The opening scene with Robin, the main character. This is, if you don't know what Bebe's Kids is, you clearly didn't grow up in the 90s. And it's an animated movie. Majority of the cast is African American, which was kind of a bigger deal. That most animated movies did not feature in.
Thanks, Disney.
Predominantly African-American cast. Didn't they make that one Black Princess movie? What was that called?
Black Princess.
With the frog.
But that came out in the last decade.
Yeah, I'm just saying they made it.
Yeah, but Bebe's Kids was the trailblazer.
This is true. Bebe's Kids allowed the frog princess thing movie to be made.
When you talked about wanting to rent Bebe's Kids in the video store, the quality of the movie, well, at least the version we watched, I just pictured it like a VHS cover sitting on a shelf, sun bleached from sitting in the window for so long. It was in like the 2-for-1 section, and that's where you find Bebe's Kids.
Come on, Bebe's Kids was at the premiere, like top picks. In the video store, the movie studio that used to exist in Shanahan, Illinois. Remember renting Bebe's Kids from that video store.
Was it sun bleach? Probably.
It may or may not have been sun bleached.
They were trying to rent that out for years.
That's how popular Bebe's Kids was.
In white suburbia.
In white suburbia. It had a goddamn Super Nintendo video game. Everything had, like, every movie had a video game. Mm-hmm. In the late 80s, early 90s, whether it was for Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or Genesis. Everything. Everything had a movie, and every movie had a video game, and every movie had a set of trading cards. I had RoboCop
trading cards. I can't dispute that or agree with you.
I had RoboCop trading cards. I had Predator trading cards. I had Predator 2 trading cards. Hmm.
Did they come
Freddy Krueger trading cards.
Did they come with a stick of gum in the package?
Yes.
Excellent.
I had Ninja Turtle movie trading cards. Everything. Why did RoboCop need to have trading cards? It was just like a still image of the movie.
Well, they released those trading cards instead of postcards to visit Detroit.
All right. They couldn't afford postcards.
Well, it's more marketable.
Yeah. For kids. Yeah. The kids that wanted to visit Detroit in the early 90s. Is Detroit better or worse now?
Well, they still had several manufacturing plants for the top vehicle manufacturers.
This is true.
They don't have that any longer.
No, they don't. So we were better off in a world where Baby's Kids was first released.
And RoboCop.
If RoboCop really existed, he could have handled the Baby's Kids.
And cleaned up Detroit.
But more importantly, handled the Baby's Kids.
I don't think anybody can.
No, nobody can. Not Robin, not Jamaica, not any of the characters in this movie.
Who the fuck is Bebe, anyway?
You never get to meet Bebe.
Thanks to Robin going ahead and dying, we'll never know who Bebe is.
This is true. We'll never know who Bebe actually is. The movie is about character Robin, played by Robin Harris, comedian who had this bit about Bebe's Kids, and they made this movie based off his bit in his stand-up act. He recounts his disastrous first date with a beautiful girl named Jamaica. Tagging along for the date are Jamaica's son, Leon. He was a very good boy.
Yeah, he got picked on so
bad. He got picked on so much for being a good boy and a little nerd. Is it weird that I keep saying good boy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of creepy and weird?
Maybe you should get a dog.
Good boy. Good boy, Leon.
He had a pretty nice high-top fade going on.
He did. It was very reminiscent of Kid from the House Party movies.
Yeah.
So that look was definitely going on. He reminded me of, there was a video game called Mick Kids. I believe it was for Nintendo or maybe Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, I don't know. It was a McDonald's game when you were two children, Mick Kids, and one of them looked just like Leon.
Hmm.
That's I could be fucking totally wrong about that, but from what I remember,
I didn't know. McDonald's.
But Jamaica's friend Bebe leaves her three kids with Jamaica, and they are rude, crude, and obnoxious.
And stinky.
And one of them is very stinky. Their names are LaShawn, Leon, and Cahill. Cahill? Khalil. On IMDb, it says Cahill.
Cahill.
I kept thinking they were saying Khalil.
That's what I heard the entire movie.
Can we go with Khalil? Because I think that's better than Cahill.
What did they call the baby the entire time, though?
Pee-wee.
Yeah, okay. Because they definitely didn't refer to him by his given name.
No, his given name is Pee-wee. That's okay. Right?
Okay.
That's okay. It's all right. Well, anyways, they end up going to a theme park called Fun World. And it's your typical Disney-ish type of park. Mascots running around. Animatronics holding a judge, trial, jury, full-on.
Gavel.
The whole business.
Powdered
wigs. They did not have powdered wigs. Did the judge have a powdered wig on?
No.
Richard Nixon was there. I don't know. This movie had Richard Nixon.
And so was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Maybe they just got up watching Bill and Ted. And they were like, yeah, let's throw Abraham Lincoln in this, and somebody else from the past. Nixon, alright, whatever.
I just didn't understand, because the same as you and Gina, who had watched this when you were younger, I had seen it maybe one time before, but now as an adult, watching it again, I was left questioning everything.
Well, what kind of questions did you have?
Well, one thing I didn't notice as a child was how every authoritarian figure in the movie was
white.
The whole Richard Nixon, Abraham Lincoln thing, I didn't understand, but all of the characters seemed to hang on Abraham Lincoln, so there was some emancipation undertones going on.
Yes, understandably.
Honestly, I can't really go on and list everything, but I was pretty confused the entire movie.
I mean, yeah, when I didn't even know what was going on when all of a sudden there's a trial happening. I was lost. Like, they trespassed, the kids trespassed in a section of the park they weren't supposed to be. Robots at this park are apparently sentient beings. They're very much self-aware.
And they can dance.
They can dance. And they're self-aware, which I don't think theme parks should necessarily be creating Skynet. That could be a very bad thing if Disney's secretly creating Skynet in their underground layers with their Imagineers.
Well, they did buy Lucasfilm, so they could be constructing a Death Star right now.
They could be constructing a Death Star, but I don't want a Death Star that's also Skynet to control everything.
And giant death robots.
This is true. Giant death robots. Yeah, and the kids get back there, and then the one robot is very angry and upset. They're back there because also they had destroyed a fellow robot person thing previously, and he was upset. So they go to kill him. The robot literally is going to kill this child in this movie. And Abraham Lincoln steps in and declares that this child, who is Abraham Lincoln, who's also a robot, declares that this child should get a fair trial, because that's the American way, and then they have a trial. I mean, it's really bizarre. It's a really weird thing. But back to where we were saying before, we're talking about how the beginning of the movie was kind of more adult than the rest of the movie.
Definitely. The entire movie, as far as the trip to the theme park, is all a flashback where Robin Harris's character is drunkenly telling the blind bartender about how shitty his day was.
Yes.
So there's shots being done, there are cigarettes being smoked, there are hookers playing pool. So yeah, it's definitely an adult movie. But because it's animated, it's okay for kids, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't, there's elements that are okay for kids, and there's definitely elements that aren't. I watched this as a child. My parents probably assumed that I just didn't get what was going on, and they're very right. I just didn't get it, and it doesn't matter, because I liked the parts with the kids, and I thought that part was cool, and it was funny. I didn't need to know there was this, like, old hooker with her saggy boobs.
Oh, they jiggled so
much. And she was disgusting, but I mean, there are kind of characters like that on The Simpsons. And I watched The Simpsons when I was younger.
And that was still an adult-oriented show.
Yeah. There was the blind bartender. But the main thing is, they go to this funeral for a friend, where he meets Jamaica. And the conversation there is very dirty for an animated movie of sorts that isn't like a Fritz the Cat or a Heavy Metal. Those are kind of like your dirtier cartoons that are a Cool World, something like that. That's like a hybrid, though, of animation and live action. But it's very much oriented in that fashion of dirtiness. Even though I remember watching Cool World as a kid, I don't know if I ever rented it necessarily. My parents like let me rent it, but I definitely saw it on HBO or something like that. I remember watching Cool World plenty of times, and there was a fucking Super Nintendo game for it, so I definitely played the game.
All platformers, all day.
Yeah, every movie game was a platformer. There was Super Nintendo was full of platformers. What else did it really have?
Secret of Mana.
This is true. There were RPGs. You had when you had a Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis or anything, you had RPGs, or you had platformers. First-person shooter here and there. Your Dooms. Your Castle Wolfenstein, things like that. There was a first-person shooter level-ish thing in the Toy Story video game, I remember, that I had. For Sega Genesis, you're running around inside the claw machine, and it was a first-person view.
I don't know what to say.
Or you had your on-rail shooters. That was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's Terminator 2, Revolution X, starring Aerosmith.
I remember that one.
That was a on-rail shooter. No, you
don't hit the babes.
Don't hit the babes with the CDs.
Yeah.
So you're shooting CDs.
Do I have a grenade launcher? No. Yeah. I shoot compact discs. That's my power.
They were very expensive at the time, so it was just as much as bullets.
I wonder if there are platinum albums. Has Aerosmith had any of those?
I'm sure they have.
All right. Let's go with that, then.
I mean, Aerosmith's a pretty big band. I'm pretty sure they have some platinum albums.
Oh, no, I just fucking hate Aerosmith.
Like, in the 80s, they were pretty...
Dream On, dude.
Dream On. Love in an Elevator.
Ugh.
Living on the Edge. We can keep going. But we won't, because we're talking about Baby's Kids. I liked the guy. They were playing dominoes, and there was that black guy. He looked like... Well, black
guys. No, they're
like,
all black guys.
The whole movie's full of black guys. There's the frog black guy.
Oh, the one with the exposed single curly chest hair.
Yes. And he looked like a frog, and he sounded... Hey,
he was one step away from a tracheotomy.
This is very... Tracheotomy, man. This is very true. Actually, those card players, a couple of them were more famous comedians. John Witherspoon was one of the card players. Also, George Wallace. They got some bigger black comedian names to do very small minor roles in this movie. As a kid, he's hitting on the girl, and he's like following her out of the funeral home, and he's talking to her in the car, and he's getting like very like rapey.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking, as we're watching this in the very beginning, I'm like, what the fuck? When I was a kid, like, nothing was going through my head, because, like, I just didn't get it, but still, it's just like, holy fuck, this is very rapey.
Mm-hmm. It did make me cringe.
I can't remember some of the things he was saying. He didn't mean to be rapey. He was like, oh, you can just give strangers right at home? Blah, blah, blah.
I could be a murderer.
But yeah, but he's, I don't know. Why are we win? Yes, mister. Like, why do we do that kind of voice, both of us?
I don't know.
That, like, old-timey, slavey voice.
I don't know.
It's kind of weird. I just made it weird by saying that. I don't know. Anyways, it was just very weird, rapey vibe that he was giving off and not trying to. But that was the joke. But as a child, we weren't getting these rape jokes.
See, I don't know if you can put those two words in the same sentence.
Child rape jokes?
Yeah. Well, you had the third one. It's even worse.
Which ones did you not want me to add together? Child and rape? Or rape jokes?
Yeah, you could just omit child from those three words, and it's still unsettling. But you add child to it, and it's definitely cringeworthy.
Oh, so you don't want rape jokes in your children's animated movies?
Yeah. And especially not child rape jokes.
No. We don't want to do child rape. God damn it. This is going in the wrong direction right now.
Yeah, this is probably the worst episode ever.
Because we mentioned child rape?
Good thing you don't have to adhere to FCC rules.
No, we don't have to. I mean, I could bleep this out if we really wanted to. It could just be a huge giant boo, boo, and everybody like, what were they saying? I'm like, what's the mystery here?
You should probably just bleep liberally throughout this episode. I think that'd be pretty funny.
Never mind. It'll sound like we're saying this one thing because of the context of the movie. But never mind. We will leave that part out. One thing I did like in this movie that I definitely would have never gotten a million years when I was a kid was there were some Dolomite references, and I thought that was funny. Just a random callback to some blaxploitation movies, and I didn't know the fuck Dolomite was when I was a kid. So when he's talking about all this, I'm just like, Dolomite, whatever, I don't really know. I didn't know what the fuck blaxploitation movies were.
I was only familiar with Sweet Sweet Back.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
He had a badass song.
You didn't know anything about the Human Tornado?
No. Not even the Human Centipede.
Not even once. Not even the Human Centipede. Now that's a rape joke we can all get behind.
Not literally.
Literally. It's not really rape, though. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, it's mouth pooping.
Mouth pooping. Mouth... God damn it. So many bad things are going to just be said if we just keep going. Yeah, but there were some comical moments in this movie where it was very kid-like. Like, he lips caught in the window thing, and they're big and, like, long, and, like, blah, 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 and he shakes them back into place. That's very, like, a Bugs Bunny...
Whimsical.
Whimsical type of thing. There were a lot of moments like that that made it much, very much a kid's movie, but there were many parts that were not.
Namely the substance abuse.
The substance abuse, the mass amounts of alcohol that were being drank in this movie, you know, that's one huge thing. By the main character, as he's telling this entire story, he's just getting obliterated the entire time. Actually ends up seeing himself in another man who is way more drunk than he is. But I feel like drunk-ish kind of thing is okay in a kid's movie. Right? Roger Rabbit drank. Eddie Valiant was drunk like almost the whole time in Roger Rabbit. That was like a staple of his character.
I still think Roger Rabbit was geared more towards adults as well.
I think certain movies ride that line where it's okay, kids, it's okay for kids to see and it's okay for adults to see. And it's not necessarily a kids' movie and it's not necessarily an adults' movie. Because, I mean, Roger Rabbit had, like, Mickey Mouse and shit in it. And I watched the fuck out of Roger Rabbit when I was, like, fucking 8 years old.
It was definitely borderline.
Yeah, I had some moments. Patty cake. I didn't get the joke then, but I get the joke now. Like, he was playing patty cake with her, but they literally were playing patty cake, but I get what it's supposed to mean. As a kid, I just thought they were playing patty cake.
Innuendo is a strong word.
It's a very strong word. But it really wasn't an innuendo because they were actually playing patty cake.
It was an artist's rendition.
This is true. But yeah, there are plenty of movies that ride that line of is it this or is it that. Like we mentioned, Cool World is one of those movies. It's definitely, I think Cool World is way more on the adult side than any of these movies. That was definitely not a kid's movie whatsoever, though I did see it as a child. on my own merit, as I normally drove to the video store when I was a kid and was able to just rent movies with my fake mustache on.
And my pre-approved credit card.
Yes.
With the 20% APR.
I remember one time, I can't remember who it was, me and a friend, I can't remember who was it. I don't know, tried to call up the video store because when we could ride our bikes to the video store and stuff, and act like...
I bet you felt so cool.
Act like we were like like one of our parents... saying it was okay for us to rent something.
You were living on the edge, man.
I was like living on the edge.
No, no, you had some balls, dude, cheating the system like
Trying to cheat the system, yeah. Of the local video stores. Yes, this is so-and-so's dad. I approve that he's going to come rent this movie, and that's okay.
I'll write him a note.
He really wants to see Bebe's Kids. He'll have no idea how horrible this movie actually is 20 years from now.
None of us could have ever known.
No, none of us could have ever known how... it's funny because Gina isn't here, yet she's the one that picked this movie. And... I feel like I wish I would have never gone back and rewatched this movie, because it was, in my mind, it was something more than what it actually is.
Well, we all learned a valuable lesson this week, so.
This is true. That's why Gina's not here. She was so traumatized by the fact that Baby's Kids was not how she remembered it.
Oh, and she's dead.
That too. I was trying to get around that. That Baby's Kids caused that to happen, but...
Aneurysm. So sad.
Yes. Such sad.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed. yeah, but the Baby's Kids, we were talking about before, as we keep tangenting, which is what we
constantly... A staple of the show.
Baby is a character we never meet. it's just this woman who is a terrible mother, apparently was married to some sort of man before. He attempted to leave. The kids threatened his life, is what was said by Jamaica. I don't know what happened to him. I don't... That's to interpretation. To the whereabouts of Bebe's husband, a.k.a. the Bebe's kids, Faja. I don't know what happened to them.
Bebe's daddy.
Bebe's daddy. God damn it. I hate everything right now. But LaShawn Khalil and Pee-wee are Bebe's kids. And they are. They're terrible in all accounts. Like, my dad, still today, from watching this movie, anytime he sees anybody's kids just acting up and just being the worst, he'll be like, oh, that's Bebe's kids. And then, I feel like that's still, like, a thing. It kind of stuck, oddly enough. It's a weird thing that stuck with some people that saw this movie in the 90s. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. I like how one of the taglines for this movie is, they'll get along great if they don't kill him first.
Like their father.
If they don't kill him. That's like the tagline that was on the poster for this movie. This movie that made $8 million domestically. It came out at a rough weekend. Death Becomes Her, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Yeah, it was definitely overshadowed.
What were some other movies that were out at the time that we were listing before?
Oh. There were a lot of good ones, but for the life of me, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, in A League of Their Own, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sister Act, Mo Money, all movie. I don't know how well Mo Money did in the box office.
Not as well as Sister Act.
Not as well as Sister Act. It was a large weekend for the African-American community, but Bebe's Kids, I don't think, was helping the situation as... Mo Money, it's an alright movie. Haven't really seen it in a long time, but I remember being an alright movie. Sister Act. Huge movie for Whoopi.
Whoopi.
Whoopi. Remember? Little Rascals. Yep. He's like, Whoopi. That's Whoopi Goldberg. This is his mom. Anyways, Whoopi Goldberg has nothing to do with Bebe's Kids. She could have made the movie better. We'll never know. She's too busy playing a book in The Pagemaster.
And on The View.
She plays a book on The View?
No.
What?
I don't know, man.
Is the View animated? Now?
Isn't it animated? Is it just a talk show? Isn't she on it still?
Yes, I think she's...
You're confusing the hog.
Well, right, I mentioned now that she was an animated book in the movie The Pagemaster, and then you were like, and on The View.
No.
That's what I was
okay,
like.
Okay, I mean, I can see the confusion.
Yes, yeah, so I was like, what's going on here? I have no idea what is going on. What you were mentioning before, the authorities in this movie were mainly white, and it was kind of weird, and they were very much like CIA.
Mm-hmm.
The one had like a JFK accent going on, like, yeah,
it was very Boston.
These are the Bebe's kids. Like, what? And everybody knew these kids. That is, if anything, if I left this movie with one question, it would be, how does everybody know these kids?
Why isn't there a prequel?
To where we get to see how everybody knows them?
Yeah.
I think there'd be a lot of prequels. If that many, they went to Vegas, and the people at the end of the movie in Vegas knew them.
That's true.
They're like, well, it's Bebe's kids.
They get around. They have no parental supervision. Why the fuck not?
Or does Bebe just get around?
Oh, I'm sure Bebe gets around.
and she brings her kids everywhere with her. And that's how, you know... That's how it happens. Because, yeah, it's just like... They're at the amusement park and multiple times people are yelling, oh my god, it's Bebe kids. There's security guards that yell at, where they take over the pirate ship at the end.
The pirate ship loaded with... live munitions.
Yes, and sailors that were on it. Why were sailors on it and not pirates? They were on it. They got thrown off, and they were like, oh, my baby's kids. Ah! They jumped off. And I was just like, wow, this is really weird. And I don't know. The whole movie was just weird. It's just like the amusement park stuff was silly and weird. A lot of weird references. They One of my favorite was back to Michael Jackson, where Robin told one of the kids, "I'm gonna beat the black off you, so you'll end up looking like Michael Jackson."
It's an honest threat.
It is an honest threat.
I'd be scared.
Yes. Yes. This is. Never mind. I wrote something down, and I really don't know what it is. And it looks weird, so I'm not going to worry about that. Bebe is so poop. Is that what I wrote? Bebe is so poop.
I don't know.
I really don't know what I wrote down there. It's a very odd, very weird. That's not going anywhere. Back to the movie. There's quite a few moments in the movie, too, where it definitely felt like it could set up a video game. There's a scene in the, where he's catching all the...
In the, all the China shop.
China shop, that, of course, at an amusement park, China shops are a staple. You go to your Great Americas, your Six Flags, your Joe Schmo amusement parks, they're gonna have a China shop. It's gonna happen.
And a bull.
And a bull. Well, was there a bull?
No.
Oh. A bull in a China shop?
Thank you.
Was that the joke?
That's the joke.
Okay. I was lost. There's, but they have all the other knickknacks, too. They have, like, the nameplate thing, and the kids can't find their nameplates because their names are weird, because they're, like, these black names. Khalil, LaShawn, Pee-wee. Though Pee-wee might have been, you know, Pee-wee Jamaica. Herman. Jamaica, she found her nameplate. She just took the one that said Jamaica.
Oh.
Yeah. And just was like, it's close enough. Right? It's pretty close. Leon, we haven't really talked about him much. He was a loner type of character. He didn't have many friends, though he was secretly in love with LaShawn.
That's true.
And LaShawn, in the very beginning, was very angry that people were writing that she liked boys on a chalkboard.
Was it on a chalkboard?
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was a bathroom stall.
No, it was
on a chalkboard. It seemed like a fitting place for that to be.
Yes, it does seem like it. But they were. It was in a on a blackboard in a classroom, because these kids did actually go to school. It's fine. Go.
Sorry.
It's fine. I can read over my notes real quick, so I don't have to read them as we're going. Yeah, sure.
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
I've had, like, nothing but coffee and water the entire day.
After that word from our lovely sponsor, Fun World, we return back to talking about Bebe's Kids. Apparently, you some confusion during this small little break, which nobody will even know that happened because it would be gone. The confusion was, how did Robin Harris record this if he was passed away when the movie came out? They recorded and made all this many years before his death.
So the confusion on my part was, if they recorded all of his audio prior to his death, what did they intend on doing with it? Because this was originally supposed to be a live-action film.
I think it was supposed to be a live-action film even when he was... it turned into an animated film even when he was still alive.
Okay.
Like, original intentions were to make a live-action movie.
So they didn't make the animated film because he died. This was a decision made before he died.
Yes. Okay. So they had recorded all of his stuff, and the trailer for this movie theatrically didn't even debut until 2 years after his death.
Yeah.
It came out in 92, he died in 90. So, I mean, they kind of held off... Probably redid some things, you know, record everybody else's things, if they weren't already recorded.
Hired Tone Loc.
They were waiting for Wild Thing to hit huge, you know, or Funky Cole Medina. I don't know which was the first bigger song by Tone Loc. They were waiting for one of the two songs to go platinum, and then they could properly release Bebe's Kids in honor of Robin Harris and Funky Cole Medina.
Solid plan.
They saw it coming from miles and miles away. Apparently, in some versions of the film's theatrical trailer, contained audio problems for the last few seconds, which actually cuts off the last couple words of the tagline that the announcer says. The original tagline is, "It's animation with attitude." However, the trailer with audio problems makes it seem like the announcer just says, "It's animation."
Bebe's Kids, we don't die.
We don't die. We multiply. It's animation. Imagine just hearing that at the end of a trailer in a movie. Just sitting in the theater and all of a sudden the movie just tells you, it's animation.
In case you thought it was real.
Yeah, I mean, they were very realistic looking. The quality of the animation was very good. The backgrounds all moved.
And I was quite impressed by Ice Cube's performance as Khalil.
Khalil? I mean, it's very obvious where the character's inspiration, for at least the drawing, came from. I mean, he looked so much...
He looked straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton, Ice Cube, Dre, one of the two. Combo of the two. Good combo, because Ice Cube at the time had a... Good head of hair going on, so Khalil did not have the amount of Jerry Curl that Ice Cube had going on at this point in time. There was also a few weird spots where the kids end up getting essentially abused by the security. They get snatched up and forced to go on a ride by the security people.
In arm restraints.
Yeah, in arm restraints. And they go on it, and it's very weird. They pass by a few weird things. One place was called Hog and Die. And it was like a pig holding a knife. And that was very, very bizarre. They end up going by a toy store, and for somehow... Oh, they get out because Khalil has a pocket knife on him, and he cuts them loose. And he ends up cutting all the other kids loose as well? Is that how it happened? Yeah. Or they were already rambunctious and going on.
I'm pretty sure he cut everybody loose. I think it was just to be assumed.
Yeah, he cut all these other kids who were apparently bad as well.
The Asian kids.
The Asian and the white train kids.
The train was filled with Asian primarily and, Asian and Bebe's kids.
And nerdy kids. Nerdy white kids.
Eugene or whatever the fuck his name was.
The one kid's name was like Harrison.
Winthrop.
Winthrop. They're like, that was it. Winthrop? What the
I'm going to call you...
I'm going to call you Dorky or something.
Opie.
Dorky.
Winthrop, I'm going to call you Opie.
Because that little kid knows who Opie is. Because he's watching so much Andy Griffith. That's a thing.
I did enjoy Andy Griffith.
Yeah, so did I. But I don't think Pee-wee was watching a lot of Andy Griffith back in the day. You know? But they go to the toy store and they're rating it. And there's a toy called Computer Joe. And it's a robot on the front. It looks like the robot later. Was that what the toy was? Was those robots?
Perhaps. Maybe Baby's Kids foiled the AI's plan. Skynet became sentient and made was going to implement robots. Itself into your home for the invasion.
Damn. And they also had the P-Dolls.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were called. I just wrote down P-Dolls.
It was like P.P. Polly or something.
P.P. Polly.
And it was definitely green urine, and I would recommend Polly to go get checked out.
Seriously. There's, we forgot to also mention Robin's ex and her friend Vivian, who were also, in this, movie. Very, for being, for being a movie made all by African-American people and everything, it was very stereotypical characters. These very stereotypical ex-girlfriend black characters. He not do like. I mean, I guess whatever. Maybe it's not just a stereotype to them. To Robin Harrison and whatnot. They, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I feel like if this was a white person making this movie, people would be fucking pissed and outraged, and their shit would definitely go down with some of these characters, especially the. Vivian and Robin's ex, I can't remember her name.
They were more, because Jamaica, Robin's love interest, was drawn to proportion. I mean, she was...
She looked normal.
Yeah, she was the attractive animated character.
Yes.
But Robin, his ex, and her friend were more caricatures. I can't say anything about the ex and her friend, but as far as Robin Harris is concerned, he was definitely a caricature of himself.
Oh, very much. Because Robin Harris was kind of a large man. He necessarily wasn't fat by any means. He wasn't like this big fat guy, like, you know, like a Chris Farley or something like that. He was just kind of a larger guy, but his character in the movie, especially next to Jamaica, he was like so much larger. He almost looked like the Thing. And like standing next to Sue Storm. That's what it reminded me of. Just like the Thing standing next to Sue Storm.
But it was just his entire physique was disproportionate.
Oh, yeah.
His head was way
too big. His head was like a football shape, which made me think of Hey Arnold. He was definitely very weird and football shapey. And then his ex, she was very weirdly shaped. Like, I couldn't tell what was going on with her. Like, we didn't understand if she was pregnant, possibly, or just had very poor posture. And
she, or a beer gut.
Or a beer belly with her boobs or lack thereof. They were kind of covered, but not, I don't know, it was kind of weird. But her friend Vivian was very large and fat and sloppy and silly and gross. And they were both kind of gross characters. I always remember the press-on toenails coming off of her toes. I always remembered...
almost every scene.
What?
In almost every scene, one of her fake nails, whether it be on her hand or her foot.
Yeah, I always remember the toe ones popping off in the bathroom. But also there are a few, as far as a lot of kids' movies around this time goes, or this kids' movie, or not so much kids, because it's animation with attitude, musical numbers. It was a staple at the time. Kind of still is, especially with Disney movies that aren't Pixar, because Pixar movies don't necessarily have too many singing musical numbers in them, but your Disney movies do, the princessy ones do, still today, but it was definitely a staple back then with any animated movie, even We're Back, A Dinosaur Story, I remember that, the dinosaurs singing in the street.
I do remember that.
It was just everywhere. Every animated movie always had musical numbers where they just read that random bust out singing in the middle of the street and nobody else cares or everybody else joins in and already knows the song and dance number and everything.
And nobody says, why the fuck are there dinosaurs running down the street?
No, it was okay. They were flying around in space and then they came back because they were with the scientist guy and he brought them back.
Okay.
And that's why it was called We're Back, a Dinosaur Story. John Goodman.
I don't know if I can accept that logic, but moving on.
I don't accept it either, but that's about all I remember from that movie. John Goodman was the T-Rex. They were in a spaceship flying around for who knows how long with the scientist guy. He brought him back. But anyways, there's a couple of rap songs. One of them is called Straight Jackin'.
Word.
It's a whole rap song by the Bebe's Kids about them... straight jacking, about them jacking you up. And it's funny because, like, I feel like over time, I'm sure jacking off was always like, oh, you like a term for masturbating. But I feel like over time, it's grown more into being a thing. And in the early 90s, jacking somebody was beating them up and or robbing them. And I feel like that's a term that really isn't used as much anymore, even in...
Well, especially in the Chicago area. Now it's just referred to as murder.
Yes, yes. Near Chicago, it is very much just murder. They're not even straight jacking anymore. It's just straight murder.
It might beat around the bush.
Yeah, it might beat... And they can come up with a new Bebe's Kids and they can just sing straight murder.
Why not? Why? I'd watch it.
You'd watch it. You'd watch a remake of Bebe's Kids?
Yeah.
Now, would you be upset if it wasn't traditionally animated? If they went the computer animated route?
I did enjoy the low quality, so probably yes.
You'd be upset if Pixar decided to redo Bebe's Kids. But then it'd have some like really touching story in it. I mean, this kind of did at the end. The end of this movie kind of did pull at the heartstrings a little bit.
Well, they got to tie it all together.
What?
I said they had to tie it all together.
Yeah, because, I mean, the end of the movie, they end up destroying Funland. It fucking blows up.
And it's stupid-ass 90-degree roller coasters.
Yes, it's 90-degree roller coasters and everything else. It's the rocket ship ride, I didn't quite understand that. You just got in, and it blew up.
It was the Challenger simulator.
The Challenger simulator. Except for it didn't even take off. It just blew up on the ground still.
It kind of hopped a little bit.
You didn't even get to go for a ride. You just instantly blew up inside of it, but you were okay. I feel like a lot of things at the time had wacky, fucked up amusement park scenes. Especially cartoon shows. I remember Rocko's Modern Life had an episode where they went to the amusement park. And all the rides were super like fucked up, basically like death machines. And I think Ren and Stimpy also had an episode of that they also went to an amusement park and their rides were just death traps.
Yeah, I never got into Rocko.
Wasn't feeling the wallaby.
I was not, or his steer friend.
Heifer, that was his name.
There you go.
Not a fan of the Rocko.
No, I was not.
Teach their own. He had a video game as well.
Was it a platformer?
Yes.
All right, then.
Ren and Stimpy. I had the Ren and Stimpy video game for Sega Genesis. It was called, like, Ren's Time Machine or something. And if you were Ren, you could use Stimpy to, like, jump on. And if you were Stimpy, you could use Ren as, like, a boomerang. Hmm. Yeah.
And you had to use them in tandem to complete the levels?
Yes. Like, they were both there. You could switch back and forth between characters. Yeah,
that kind of reminds me of that, what was it, Three Vikings? That series?
Yes, that game ruled.
Where they all had different powers, and you had to switch between. It was like a platformer / puzzle game.
Yes, and that's how the Ren and Stimpy game was. It was kind of like that. You know, I don't know if any of the Castlevania games at the time had done that yet, but they've kind of done that since... I have a couple of them for the DS, and you switch between characters to complete certain things.
I don't know. I haven't played a Castlevania game since Symphony of the Night. Yeah, back in like 1997.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't remember even if Symphony of the Night you switched between characters or not. I don't think so.
I
can't remember. I like how when they at one point they're like, let's go check out Futureville, and then they mention how I bet there's no black people there, but when we were watching the movie, I thought he said, let's go check out feature film. And I didn't get... I was just like, why wouldn't there be black people on the feature film?
But then they cut to the kids for an extended period of time. And then cut back to Robin and Jamaica. And they were in a movie theater. So then I was second-guessing. Because I did hear Futureville as opposed to feature films, like you said. But then they were in a movie theater. And I'm like...
But it looked like it was a stage show.
Did I?
They said, like, nuclear family, or nuclear is the right way to go, or whatever, on the stage. I'm assuming he meant nuclear families. I don't know. But, yeah, you mentioned they cut to the kids for a while. This is when the whole trial thing happens, when you were talking about before. An extremely terrifying part is the evil robot bear.
Yeah.
It's like a half bear, half... With, like, it's an animatronic bear, but with the robot legs exposed. And that was very terrifying. Like, if they made a horror movie where that thing was just attacking people, they'd be really fucked up. Like, really fucking crazy. And, yeah, the whole thing happens, the whole fucking trial. Nixon's there, Robot Nixon. He had the robot legs going, too. And
Robot Lincoln.
Leon... He stands up for the kid, for the baby's kids, who are slowly becoming his actual friends, as opposed to being just bullies. He has a musical number as well. Leon Rapp, a song about freedom.
With Abraham Lincoln.
Lots of crotch grabbing going on.
Yeah.
Leon grabbing his crotch, waving his hand in the air, like he just didn't care.
Yeah, he did not at all.
He just didn't care at all. It was very weird. And you know what also made this movie a staple of its time? It definitely showed what era it was in, was when they started doing Yo Mama jokes back and forth to each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Dirty Dozens, they, you know, that's what it was called back then before. Wasn't there that show on MTV, Yo Mama?
I don't know.
It's like some stupid-ass fucking game show. Like, this was, like, maybe, like, 7 years ago. I don't know.
I couldn't help you with that one.
Yeah, I can't help myself with it either, because I don't fucking really remember it.
Judging by the programming MTV's had in the last 20 years, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yes, this is very true. Though, there was one show in the past, I don't know however long since I've watched MTV, but last year there was a show, Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous, and it was fucking hilarious, and it was created by Bo Burnham, who's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's not getting picked up for another season, because... Because
they're bringing back Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah, because they're bringing back Yo MTV Raps. I feel like people on MTV just don't want something Bo Burnham is bringing to the table, which is something actually entertaining and funny. They just want more, like, Jersey Shore or Real World episodes, or...
And Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers... Is that even... I don't think they do Headbangers Ball anymore.
That's a shame.
And they did MTV2 for a while. I remember they brought it back.
Did?
At MTV2, they brought it back. Yeah. Or MTV6, I don't know.
Whatever, it doesn't play reality shows right now.
Yeah, I don't know which number of MTV doesn't play reality shows at this point in time, but who knows. You know, also in this movie, before we get to the end here, there was an old lady throughout the whole movie, who was just being tortured by everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it was the baby's kids or anybody else, constantly in harm's way, constantly being tortured. Even in the beginning, he almost gets hit by the car. And I thought that was a really weird little side-running gag to have throughout this movie. Like, oh, we almost actually killed this old woman, like, 7 times.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, she was in there quite a few times throughout the movie.
Yeah, quite a few times. It was just like this little... really odd running gag. It was very, very odd. So then they destroy the whole park. They take over that ship. There's a Nintendo product placement very prominent in the movie. They're making the one father walk the plank.
He's like, did you get your kid a Nintendo for Christmas? He's like, a Nintendo? He's like, yeah, get him a Nintendo. They're just like, I don't know if they had to put that in there because the game was coming out, or...
Wasn't it for SNES, though?
Yeah, but still, everybody called every... Like, didn't everybody's, like, mom and dad call every system a Nintendo for, like, years?
I think that still goes on today.
Like, oh, what are you playing, your Nintendo?
Like, alright.
Yes, I'm playing my Nintendo. Like, Nintendo really... They really got the market on that one by dominating for so many years. And just now every system is called a Nintendo by a certain age group up. Like your grandparents. Oh, look at him, he's playing his Nintendo. Did you go get that new Nintendo 4? Did you go get that new Nintendo PS4? Nintendo should just come out with a new system and just call it Nintendo 1. It'll sell.
Why would they do that?
But fucking Xbox did it. People are clearly going out and buying it as we speak. As we say words, people are going to buy a system called One. The number one of a system that already exists. It was a giant black box that had an X on it. It was called Xbox. But that wasn't the one.
No, that was just Xbox.
No, it wasn't also your TV. It wasn't. You couldn't do a TV on there, live TV. Because you don't pay for cable for that. But you need to hook up your cable box to your Xbox One.
Is this true?
What do you mean?
I was just asking.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. There's a HDMI port on there that says cable in. And so you hook up your HDMI cable from your cable box to your Xbox One, and then your Xbox One into your thing.
So they're definitely...
So you don't
trying to sell that entertainment system,
but it doesn't support DVR functions.
DVR?
Yeah. So if you have anything recorded on your DVR and you or want to watch anything through your Xbox, you can't watch your DVR shit through your Xbox. Only live television.
What's the point?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Anyways, we're getting sidetracked. This is turning into the video game hour of B Movie Breakdown. Well, we need to play the Baby's Kids video game. It's probably better than the movie.
I would hope so.
If I found it at Disc Replay, I would definitely buy it. I'm sure I could find it for like a couple bucks in their Super Nintendo bin, and I would totally buy that shit and see how. But it's probably fucking hard as shit, and the controls are probably terrible. And I wonder who it was made by. Actually, it'd be interesting to look it up because a lot of. There was a company that made a lot of movie video games at the time. Company with a rainbow as their symbol. Shit. They made every fucking shitty movie game.
I know what you're talking about, but...
It's like, it has a little rainbow symbol, and it was like... It started with a J? I don't know.
It escapes me right now, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they made... The Angry Video Game Nerd always talks about it, too. Like fuck this company. Because they, like, LJN... I think that's what it was. LJN. I'm pretty positive that's what it is. Anyways, they probably made the fucking game because they made every fucking movie, anything, video game. Just shit. Always just completely just ridiculous. But they leave... Fun World a fucking mess, and they leave and everything is just okay. Like, nobody stops them.
No one presses charges.
No one cares. The police are chasing them at the end, but not really chasing them, but just like going after him. I don't know if his like light was out on his fucking
registration thing.
Yeah, or he had kids just piled up in the car, or because they were black and that was a thing. The cop pulls up and he's like, oh my god, it's Baby's Kids, turns around, runs away. Apparently, once again, everybody knows these kids.
Finn.
But the, not yet. The one part I wanted to get to was that how it ends on like a kind of a sad-ish note when the kids are dropped off at their crack house apartment building.
Yeah.
And it's very sad, and they go into their apartment, Bebe is not there.
No food in the refrigerator.
No food in the refrigerator, no food anywhere. Tries to give him money for pizza. The pizza man won't even come around the area no more.
It's too hood.
It's just too hood, too cracky, just too weird going, just too many bad things going on, especially the Bebe's kids. They're not help in the situation at all. But you end up feeling bad for these kids, even though they were, like, the worst kids ever. You end up feeling bad for them. And Robin sees the light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing in the bar, and he goes out. Jamaica's there. They both apologize for saying things they shouldn't have said regarding Bebe's kids and poor people and how to raise kids and relationships and a million other things. And Bebe's kids are in the car, and they are eating pizza, and they're laughing, and they want to go to Vegas, and they go to Vegas. Pee-wee pulls the plug on Vegas. Set up the sequel for Bebe's Kids 2. Never happened.
He was dead, so...
Yeah, but good, they could have got somebody else to do the voice. It happens all the time.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Do you think at all that they were trying to set this up for maybe a possible TV series?
Probably. I can see that.
Because I honestly feel like... I feel like... The movie wasn't crazy successful and definitely found a life on video after being in theaters. But I'm surprised they didn't just go the route of making it a TV series from the get-go. I feel like a short-term, like, you know, you get your 30-minute episode or even two 15-minute episodes or whatever, you know what I mean, in an animated block.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could have been more successful as a TV show. You know what I mean? Just your random adventures with Robin, the Bebe's kids, Jamaica, and Leon. And built a story from there. I don't know. I feel like maybe you could have got more out of it than just this 70-minute movie that was kind of a mess and was...
Extremely hard to follow.
Hard to follow, and just... It was just weird. It was just... There were weird moments, and it was not a kids' movie, but it was. But, I mean, at the time, The Simpsons were definitely a big deal, so something like this where it definitely rides that line, I think could have worked. I don't know how long necessarily, how many seasons it would have went, but I feel like this would have worked better as just going in to it. Maybe made it a TV special or something, and then it led into the series. Not a theatrical movie where you're putting a lot of money. You put a lot of money into something like that, distribution and stuff like that. It costs a lot of money, and then when you don't make enough, then you don't get to do everything else you wanted to do with the property. So I think it could have worked differently had it been an animated TV series. Though there is one review before we fin ourselves. One review I wanted to read on IMDb. This is the title of this, The King of Movies. Move over, Citizen Kane. Bebe's Kids is the absolute greatest film ever made. Great animated cinematography, brilliant animated acting, and a cute, touching animated story bring this film to prominence. It is a neglected comic gem about a black family that will leave you feeling good inside. I would highly recommend that you rent or buy it today, or even better, write the studio and demand they re-release the film back into theaters. 5 out of 4 stars.
Oh, shit.
Five. The review below it should have not been made. So, that's what you got there. But I do love that this person proclaims that it's greater than Citizen Kane. So, you know, some people truly, truly love Bebe's Kids. And to this day, that review was only, it was from 98, so I guess like 6 years after the movie came out. But yeah.
It's got some staying power.
It has some true staying power. This is definite. Well, next week, we're going to cover a movie that Ryan has been wanting to do so bad ever since joining the podcast. We are finally going to get around to it. You can rent it on Amazon Instant Video, on your PlayStation, whatever other device that has Amazon Instant Video on your computer. You also rent it on YouTube, which I'm sure you can do through the PlayStation, Xbox, blah, 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 whatever. It's like $2.99. I'm sure it's definitely worth the rent. I don't see why not. I didn't see if it was in HD or not. Kind of weird, because I rented Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College on Amazon Instant Video, and that was in HD. It didn't look great,
but it was in HD. So if they put Ghoulies Go to College in HD, Your should be in HD. Because that's the movie we're watching. Your, Y-O-R, the Hunter from the future. A warrior seeks his true origins in a seemingly prehistoric wasteland. Yes, this looks absolutely amazing. 90 minutes of pure glory. That's all I'm seeing from this. Except for the Captain America 2 movie that's also related to this from the 70s that we won't talk about. But yeah, this movie looks absolutely ridiculous. The cover, the poster for the movie has a warrior barbarian man on a pedestal of some sort, like a giant...
some kind of plateau.
Plateau or something with UFOs above and a woman on his leg. It looks... I've never seen this movie. Ryan has. It looks ridiculous. I'm sure we will all enjoy it. Apparently it's based off a graphic novel. That'd be interesting to read about. Henga El Cazador.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's what it says. It's based off a graphic novel there. So, yeah. Your Hunter from the Future. Starring Reb Brown. We all know Reb Brown. He's on all our wish lists to celebrities we most want to meet. So, you know, check it out. It's on Amazon. I'm sure it's absolutely amazing. I can't wait to watch it. It looks like it's going to be hilarious. So, for B Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm Ryan.
When we don't die, we multiply.
It's the best of the worst.